thank the Lord. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. Amen. The mountain of God. The mountain of God. God is calling us to the mountain. I'm glad to see you all out this evening. This is, I believe it is Monday. Is that correct? Monday. It's Monday. Woo. It's Monday. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I can tell you this, that God is calling the church to the mountain of God. Now, you're going to have to find that mountain for yourself. But it's a place you're going to need to climb to that the Spirit of God is bringing the church to. When Jesus went up on the mountain of transfiguration, there were 12 disciples, but he called three to go with him. Because undoubtedly he saw something in them, a hunger in them, and a desire in them that he wanted them to have revelation and a more understanding of the things of God than what they did. And I sense and know in my spirit, in fact, I kept seeing as we were praying, and some things you see, you know, you don't have full revelation of or understanding of at the moment, but I just kept hearing in my spirit, the mountain of God. The mountain of God. Tell them to come on up, the mountain of God. God wants to transfigure the church today because it's not ready for what's about to happen. He wants us to walk the mountain, leave the lower things of life and earth behind, so to speak. I'm talking about spiritual things. He wants us to climb over anything that may be in our paths, any rocks that may be on the mountain, and go up on the top of the Mount of Transfiguration. On that mountain, the reason they call it the Mount of Transfiguration is because he was transfigured, Jesus was, before them. The anointing and glory of God came on him to such an extent that it was a blinding, powerful anointing that came upon Jesus. He glowed, so to speak. Remember Moses, when he went on the mountain, isn't that right? The mountain of God, and met with God, that his face shone so brightly that people could not look at him, and they had to put a veil over his face. Now that has more than one meaning. The meaning is that the righteousness and the holiness of God was upon him because he had encountered that on the mountain. God is calling us to the mountain of God so he can transfigure us just like Jesus was transfigured. That don't mean we're going to be Jesus, but he wants us to be transfigured because just like the Holy Spirit said last night, I believe it's coming back to me. You know, when you're speaking by the Holy Ghost, you don't really know everything you're saying with your ears. But one of the things that I know that the Lord showed us, and I believe it was in the service last night, is that he's going to bypass our heads in this move. Now, I said that by the Spirit, you understand. It wasn't something I thought up or I had been thinking about. But he's going to have to transcend our minds because what's about to happen is far beyond anything that's ever happened. And if we try to put it in a box like the other moves were, we're going to ruin it. So God wants us to pray in the Spirit. Remember, he encouraged us last night to pray in the Spirit and just shut our minds down, so to speak. That don't mean you got to lose your mind. Granny said you need a little something to work with up there. But this move of God will be hindered if men and women get in the midst of it and try to bring it to pass in their own ability and strength. They'll do it. They'll hinder it. In fact, I guess I can share with them something that I mentioned earlier today. I was praying today, and again, just seeking the Lord, just doing what I encourage you to do, you know. And there's no condemnation. Listen, if you don't want to pray, you don't have to pray. I'm not going to send you to hell. I'm not going to condemn you to hell. You can go to heaven miserable. Live in misery down here, but still make heaven. That's When God speaks to you to come on, you know, he wants you to come on and do something. So while I was praying, the Lord said this to me in my spirit this morning. He said, the problem in the church world today is that most of the church world is trying to replicate a move that happened long ago. And he said, that's not this Holy Ghost flow. You ever seen replica cars? Replica furnitures? You know what I mean? It looks like an antique that's worth, $20,000, and it's actually somebody made it out of pine wood and beat it up and all that stuff.
True, yes.
Y'all know how you'll wear them breeches that's got holes in them and all that kind of stuff, and you pay all that money for them and all that kind of stuff to make it look like you're working and have been working and been sweating, but it's just a replica of what somebody else done because you ain't done it. I'm just telling you right now. But it's the fad. It's the fashion. They're replicating things, and it seems to be in the church world that's what's happening. And that's one thing that's hindering the move of God. We're trying to bring it about the way it used to take place and the moves we've saw in the past, and we're trying to replicate that. And there's nothing wrong with obeying the Holy Ghost. I mean, you can't get so stiff and starchy, you know, that you don't obey God, because you can do that too. It takes faith to step out. But also, when we go back and try to say, well, this move happened this way, and this is what happened in that move, and they done this, and they done that, and they done this, and then we set out to try to replicate or reproduce what happened back there, then it quenches the Spirit of God for what he wants to do today. It quenches the Spirit. So God doesn't want to replicate something that's happened before. He's going to do a new thing in this day that's never been done before. And that's why we have to pray in the Spirit and be led by the Spirit of God, because if we don't, it's going to hinder the move of God. The more we pray, the more we pray together, corporately and also individually, the more that we're going to be in the perfect will of God. Because this move that we're moving into is nothing like we've seen before. Now, people's touched the edge of some of these things. Brother Seymour's wife, now he wasn't married, but he was on Bonnie Bray Street. Y'all remember where Bonnie Bray Street is? In California. I don't know if it's close to Pastor Nancy's house or not, but anyway, it's Los Angeles down there. You know, when Brother Seymour went, we're talking about the Azusa Street Revival. And you know of that, and we've read about that. There's books about it and magazines. In fact, you can get a lot of the written periodicals and published newsletters from that day. In fact, we've got them, you know, a lot of them, where they actually wrote articles and all kinds of supernatural things that happened during that time. But before the Azusa Street took place, in what you'd call a converted cattle barn, because that's what it had been, they cleaned it out and stuff. But what happened is Brother Seymour went to preach at a church there. And when he went in and preached, now he wasn't baptized with the Holy Ghost. In fact, he was blind in one eye. But he also laid hands on somebody that didn't have an arm, and it grew out in front of everybody. He said, Brother Randy, you understand all that? You don't have to. Don't try to figure it out in your head. You understand? But Brother Seymour went and preached at the church, and he preached on the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, because he had got that out of Topeka, Kansas, Brother Parham. That's where it came from. That's where it all started. And then because of the racial thing that was going on in that day, then he couldn't actually attend classes. So he asked permission from them and ordered, Brother Parham, can I just sit outside the door and listen? And they said, well, sure, because, you know, it was not acceptable. I mean, it was wrong for all that to happen that way, but it was not accepted. And thank God we got it changed, you know. Thank God we did. So he'd sit outside the door because he was just so hungry for God. And he got all fired up about it. And so he went out there to Los Angeles to preach, invited him to preach. And he got up and preached under the fire and brimstone about being baptized with the Holy Ghost. And he wasn't even baptized in the Holy Ghost himself. And you would think that the whole church got excited and they was ready for revival, but they left church that day and come back that night. When they got there, there was a chain on the door. And they had locked him out of the church and wouldn't let him come back in there and preach. You remember this, don't you?
Yeah.
In Los Angeles. So they didn't know what to do. They didn't know where to go. And so there was a couple there that said, "Brother Seymour, come over to our house." You know where their house was at? Remember, it was on Bonnie Bray Street. You got to get Bonnie and find out where Bray is, and then you'll have Bonnie Bray Street. They went there with a hunger for God. They had no idea except they wanted God to do what He wanted to do. They had no pre-planned agenda. I'm talking about when this move of the Holy Ghost outpoured of the Spirit took place. They had no pre-planned agenda because they didn't know what to plan. All they knew is they seen it in the Bible. Because y'all remember back in Topeka. Y'all remember in Topeka, Kansas? You know, we're going back and forth. We know we do time travel. You remember that? But remember back in Topeka, Kansas, they had the Bible school. And the whole purpose and premise of the Bible school was to study and see if the baptism of the Holy Ghost was still for today. And if it is for today, what is the evidence that you got it? And then Brother Parham was out on the road speaking and all kind of stuff. And a gentleman had let him use this house. You remember all that? I think you even told me some stories about it. But had let him use this house to have this Bible school in. And so they were there and they started seeking God. And they discovered, they all come together. And they, through their studies, because they all went to their own room seeking God, fasting and praying and everything. And then they all come back together to give their report of what they believe the Bible said. And all of them decided that the baptism of the Holy Ghost was still today. Amen. Because it was in the book of Acts. It was never done away with. And then when you were filled with the Holy Ghost, you would speak with other tongues. And that's all they knew. So they developed such a hunger, they began to seek this experience then. Because they had chapter and verse, they had revelation knowledge that this move belonged to them. They didn't know what it looked like except what they read in the Bible. And so they started seeking God. And Brother Parham came back from a meeting, and you remember Agnes Osmond. Y'all remember Agnes? Y'all remember Miss Osmond? Y'all remember her, right? Yeah. In Topeka. Brother Greg, I know members. But anyway, Agnes, he's old enough, he said. Pastor said. See, Pastor's got revelation knowledge here. He's got a word of knowledge about it. He said he's old enough. But Agnes Osmond was there. And at 12:01, which is 1 minute after midnight, she said, "Lay your hands on me, Brother Parham. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in the move of God." He wasn't baptized either. He wasn't filled with the Spirit either. But he laid his hands on her and the power of God come upon her, and she began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance, and she spoke in other tongues for 3 days and three nights. Now replicate that.
Amen.
3 days and three nights. They couldn't figure out what she was saying because she was speaking in a dialect and a language they did not know. And so they would bring her a pad and a pencil, and she had tried to write in English, and she couldn't write in English either. And she was a U.S. citizen. That's all she'd ever known is the English language. She couldn't speak in English, and she could not write in English. So they sent to the city of Topeka to get a language expert. Because this lady's been doing this for 3 days and three nights in the glory. Brought him out there and found out she was speaking perfect Mandarin Chinese. Not only could she speak it, she could write it on a tablet. If y'all want to replicate something, let's do some replicating here. But what I wanted to point out, what the Holy Ghost is pointing out here, is that they had no preconceived ideas of what was going to happen. And whatever God wanted to do, they were open to it. Because if you don't watch it, you'll try to get God to carry out your agenda, carry out your plans, and it may not be what He wants to do. So the Holy Ghost was saying to me this morning about that, that the body of Christ is trying to replicate moves of old and call it today moves of God. And it's not the true move. So she spoke in that language. Now we're going back to Bonnie Bray Street. Did we crank up the DeLorean yet? But anyway, we're going back to Bonnie Bray Street in Los Angeles. Her brother Seymour had known about these things, but he's not baptized. He remembered they locked him out of the church when he preached on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He was invited over to Bonnie Bray Street. Y'all remember where Bonnie Bray is, you know. You find Bonnie and get Bray and you got Bonnie Bray. But anyway, they invited him in. And so what they decided to do is gather. They had a little upright piano up there, you know, and some little benches they'd put in this room, in this house on Bonnie Bray Street. And they decided that we're just going to get down and we're going to seek God. Because they're filled. Not a one of them is filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Not a one of them spoke in other tongues. But they knew something was coming. They knew something big was on the horizon. And I'm here to tell you something big is on the horizon today. Something big is coming. Something like you've never seen or known. I'm telling you, that power is coming, and it's going to be a mighty deluge of God's glory, a mighty deluge of God's anointing, and it's going to take you into a place in the Spirit that you have never been before. So we can't go with a pre-planned agenda and try to put on something that happened back there, because it's not going to be that way. So they were praying. They were seeking God at Bonnie Bray Street, just a handful of people. Brother Seymour kind of heading it up, preach a little bit, but mostly praying and seeking God. They didn't know what God was going to do. They just knew something big was about to happen. He'd been praying, I think, this time about 7 years about this, for many hours a day. He'd been praying about it because he could see it coming. He could sense it coming. And so all of a sudden, one day that they were there praying, the power of God came into that room and hit them and knocked them in the floor. And all of them began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. God's power fell on them. And I'm here to tell you that power is available to us today. But when the power came on them, they began to speak in other tongues, and they were all laying in the floor. That's why they called them holy rollers. My daddy was a holy roller. He rolled for Jesus. And them old timers, you know, they'd get lost in the Spirit. But Reverend Seymour, there was a lady there that was not married. He married her, and she became his wife. She had never been able to sing or play music in her life. She got up from where she was at, led by God, went to that straight back piano that was sitting up there in the corner of the room, sat down on that piano bench and began to play melodiously, and had never taken a lesson in her life, and sang beautifully, just like she'd been to school to learn how to sing and hold the notes and not be in the cracks or anything, you know. That supernaturally came upon her, and it stayed with her the rest of her life. Supernatural. But I believe one of the reasons that could happen is because they didn't try to replicate something that had happened somewhere else. They let God do what He wanted to do. Isn't that right? And that's why it's imperative and important to be led by the Spirit of God. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Is that where you're headed? We're following the Holy Spirit, right? Sudden inspiration of the moment here. And that's why the devil's been fighting the church and our countries about the revelation truths of God's Word. Because he knows that we're on the verge of the biggest move of God that this world has ever seen. In fact, it's right upon us now. Sometimes it's almost I can see it. But it's right here upon us now. The enemy's trying to keep us out of it. But look at Romans chapter 8, verse number 14. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, quit looking everywhere else and look to God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God. When they were praying there in Topeka, when they were praying on Bonnie Bray Street, what they were doing is they was looking to God. They weren't looking to man. They weren't necessarily looking at a book or looking at a video or trying to get some advice from somebody. They were going to God to let God do what he wanted to do. And there's nothing wrong with those other things too. But notice here, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So the goal that each one of us should have today is to be led by His Spirit. So in His Spirit, we have an unction, an intuition, the inner knowing that something big is going to happen. Yield to that in prayer. Because God needs our assistance to bring this to pass in this earth. He needs our hunger. And that's what happened in Topeka. There was a hunger for God. A hunger. And God showed up. There in Bonnie Bray Street, there was a hunger for God, and God showed up. So reckon why God doesn't show up in a greater way today. Any ideas? The hunger is not at the point that it should be. And it's admirable to have a desire, but I'm talking about something that won't, a desire that won't be satisfied until God has His way among us. We know it's upon us. It's been preached. We've prophesied. I mean, from way back here, our elders have prophesied it. We believe we can prove it also through the Word. You go back to Joel chapter 2 and bring it into Acts. And it's not over yet. Jesus said He's coming back for a glorious church. Many are led by the Spirit of God. They are the sons of God. So we follow God and He'll help us in every area. Verse number 16 says, the Spirit, it should be Himself, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Notice here, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit. The Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit. Already in this service, you have borne witness to things that have been said and things that have been declared. But the Spirit of God bears witness, and we need to follow that inward witness. We need to obey that inward witness. And as we obey the inward witness and don't try to replicate something down yonder or something back yonder or something that even happened 10 years ago or 15 years ago or a year ago or a service ago or anything, and there's nothing wrong with following the Holy Ghost, don't get me wrong, but when we try to replicate something, it hinders God because man gets involved and takes the place of God when you try to put on something that God's not doing. When you try to put on something that God's not doing, it hinders the move of God and it quenches the Spirit. And He said, no flesh will glory in His presence. And that's what happens when we have put on our own agenda, try to replicate something of the past, then we are out there, we're getting the glory because we're making it happen. No, we don't make it happen. We seek God until He does what He wants to do. We have a hunger to follow God, to follow that inward witness. So how the Azusa Street got on much larger is that after the outpouring of the Holy Ghost on Bonnie Bray Street, and then the lady playing the piano, a lot of other things were happening supernatural that we'll not get into right now. But when that happened, then people begin to come. I'm talking about crowds begin to come. And so the house was so little that the people had to gather on the porch there of this home on Bonnie Bray Street there in California. And one day, so many people got on the porch that the porch caved in. That's a good service when you have a caving in service. I mean, that's a caving in service. Well, when that happened, it attracted the attention of the authorities. So the authorities were going to shut down the meeting because they had too many people for such a small room, and they were concerned about people getting hurt and things like that, just from a natural perspective. So what Brother Seymour did is he started praying and seeking God. While he was praying and seeking God, God showed him a vision and showed him riding a streetcar, because they had streetcars back then in Los Angeles. Saw him riding a streetcar down to a part of town that a man of his color should not be in, especially at night. He saw an address, and he saw himself going to this address, going up and knocking on the door, and that was it. He didn't know what else to do. But of course, you could imagine in the natural mind, he didn't want to do this. You know what I mean? Because he's risking his life. Risking his life. But he knew that God was in it. So he gets on the streetcar and he finds out the directions and goes down this street and gets on another street and on this street and on that street. And then finally he gets around and he sees the address on this door post, you know. And said, "That's what I saw." He didn't know what to do except that he saw himself knock on that door. So he walked up to this little house and he knocked on the door, you know, standing there. And again, a man of his color should not be in that place of the city that time of night, especially because you're risking your life. So all of a sudden, two little white ladies opened the door. And they looked at him. Here is a man, a black gentleman, blind in one eye, and standing there in front of these two little sweet old little ladies' door. And he said to them, "I was praying, and I had a vision, and I need some help. And God sent me here." They reached out and grabbed him and jerked him in. Said, "Brother, we've been praying for this." And they gave him the money to go to Azusa Street and get the cow barn. Wow. How about that? Listen, don't y'all start moving now just because we're going to a cow barn. Don't get me on that. That was supernatural. But again, it wasn't his idea. He didn't have an idea. He wasn't trying to replicate something or come up with something. He prayed until God said something, and then he obeyed what God said to do. One of the things that I believe that's been greatly lost in the church world as a whole, and I'm not getting on anybody. You can still go to heaven. We'll go to heaven together. We'll walk the streets of gold together. But one of the biggest things that's wrong in the church world is people don't pray till they hear from God. What they do is they have their own agenda. They replicate things that they've seen in the past. And they try to go through the motions, and we never get anywhere. And I'm not saying it's every individual. But that's a big problem. The body of Christ doesn't pray. We don't pray like we should. And again, there's no condemnation. I'm not making you pray. I'm not telling you you're going to hell. I'm going to do everything I can to drag you into heaven, kicking and screaming if I have to. And the Lord's not trying to take you to hell. He's not getting on us. He's given us a solution. And that's what it is. And of course, you know right now in your spirit, the Spirit of God bears witness with you as to what I'm saying, whether it affects you or not. Because it may not affect everybody. But if it affects you, then just make that little minor adjustment. And decide that I'm going to get on this. It's not, God's not mad at us. He's trying to get us to cooperate with Him. And so that's how they got into the Azusa Street. So we got to follow this inward witness. And I believe this, in these times that we live in, it's going to be imperative that we obey the inward witness and get used to hearing the inward witness. And the way that's going to happen is through praying in the Spirit. Turn to 1 Corinthians 14. The more you pray in the Spirit, in other tongues. Remember, what is praying in the Spirit? It is heaven's language. Praying in other tongues is the language of heaven. Just like different countries have different languages as a general rule, not every country, but a lot of countries have different languages. They have their language. Heaven has a language, and it's called speaking in other tongues. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he says here, verse 2, says, "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto who? God. For no man understandeth him." Said, howbeit in the Spirit, he does what? He speaketh mysteries. They're not a mystery to God. They're a mystery to us. But because we're praying in the heavenly language, even though we don't understand that language, because it's a language of heaven unless God reveals it to us, but we're still praying out the mysteries, and God understands every word that we say when we're praying and speaking in other tongues. And so the idea would arise, can I pray in tongues at will? Or do I have to have a special spiritual experience? Does an angel have to appear to me? Do I have to get a goosebump before I can pray in other tongues? Can I just start off, if I'm baptized in the Holy Ghost and I've already received this experience, can I just start off by faith and begin to pray in other tongues? Can we do that? How do you know? He said, the Bible says so. Do you reckon it's in the Bible anywhere? You think it is? You think we're making it? You think Pastor Craig made that up? I know you think I made it up. You wouldn't think he would. Can you pray in tongues at will? Yes. Because people don't, a lot of people, you know, even though we sometimes, even though we're called, you know, faith churches, word and spirit churches and everything, and we just assume everybody knows these things. But sometimes we don't realize that some people just don't know this. And just, it may seem elementary to some of us, but it may be a big revelation to somebody else. Because they're waiting for some kind of special experience, because they believe that it's actually going against God if they start praying in tongues without some kind of special feeling. But that's not what the Bible says. So let's look and see if Pastor Craig is right or not. You know I'm not, so we'll see if he is or not. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse number 14. Says, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my what? Spirit prayeth. But my understanding is unfruitful. And this is the verse you want to capitalize on. Verse 15. What is it then? I will. Something I do. I will pray with the Spirit. And what? I will pray with understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with understanding also. Notice this, it's determined by the will of the individual. I will. And if Paul's talking about himself here. You understand? But it also applies to you and I. At will, you can pray in other tongues. And you're not making God mad. He desires it. He delights in that. Just like you can speak in English anytime you get ready to. Right? You can speak in English, or you can speak in other tongues anytime you get ready to. You start out by faith and you're praying in heaven's language and you make connection with God. You pray with the Spirit. You pray with the understanding. But he said here in verse number 2 again, he said, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, but unto God, for no man understandeth him. So let me give you a little piece of advice here. Quit trying to understand what you're saying when you're praying in other tongues. Now, I say that for this reason. If you don't do that, if you get so caught up about what you're saying and what am I saying? What does these words mean that I'm speaking out of my mouth? Sounds like gibberish to me. I mean, what am I doing? What am I getting? You'll get in the mental realm. And you'll stay in the mental realm and you'll never bypass your mind. Praying in heaven's language is bypassing your educational brain and getting you into the spirit. That's what's happening. And that's what God wants you to do. He wants you to bypass your brain. Because listen, you already know what you know. And you don't know no more than what you know. Isn't that right? So what we got to do is we know that we don't know. So we got to go to who does know. And that's God. Isn't that right? So we pray in the Spirit. Now what I'm talking about here will save your life. It will save your family. It will save your children. If you'll listen to the Holy Ghost and yield to Him, He'll have you pray out things. The more you pray in other tongues, the more you'll experience of God's revelation and God's anointing in your life. A lot of people, you know, desire to have spiritual experiences, and that is noble. But in order to have a spiritual experience, this is the revelation. You must first be in the Spirit. You've got to pray long enough that you get in the Spirit. Now, how long do you pray before you're in the Spirit? That determines as to how developed you are at it. But if you're undeveloped now, if you say, well, I don't know if I've ever been in the Spirit, there's no condemnation. But if you stay with it, eventually you're going to step over the log. That's what Sister Rachel Tafetiller used to call it. You're going to step over the log. And my friend here calls it that too. Step over the log and you're going to get in the Spirit. And you're going to know the difference. And the only way you can know this is to learn it.
Yes.
God has to teach you.
Yes.
I can give you information and revelation. Pastors can, your ministers can, other wonderful people can. But the only way that you're really going to understand it and comprehend it is for you to do it. And God will train you. You'll find out, well, I'm in the Spirit. And the more you pray in other tongues, the more you speak in other tongues, you're praying in heaven's language, the more you'll understand when you're in the Spirit. And you'll find yourself beginning to affect things and bring change in the realm of the Spirit that's going to influence the physical world that you're in. And the more you pray, the more you'll begin to understand about what you're praying. The more you pray, the more understanding you'll have. That don't mean you'll understand everything. You don't have to understand everything. But you will begin to understand things that you're praying about.
Yes, sir.
You will if you're developed in this. And you have to train yourself. And again, we can teach you about it. Pastors can teach you about it. Ministers can teach you about it. Wonderful, well, many people can teach you. But the best way... And the only way you're really going to experience this is to do it, put it into action.
Amen.
So he said here, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. Says no man understandeth him. In other words, it's not a language that you know. And if you're concentrating on what you're saying and trying to figure out what you're saying, then you're going to stay in the mental realm and that's going to stalemate you right there.
Yes,
so you just have to realize that I'm praying in heaven's language regardless of what I feel like, regardless of what I sense, regardless of what I understand or not. I'm just going to pray in heaven's language. And the more you do it, the more sensitive you'll get to the Spirit of God inside of you and that inward witness, not necessarily an angel flying by or Jesus appearing or you having a vision, but the inward witness revelation will begin to float up out of your spirit. Because when you're praying in an unknown tongue, your spirit prayeth. Remember we just read that verse. Your spirit prays. And then it also says here in this other verse, in verse number 4, says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue does what? Edifieth or builds himself up. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth or builds himself up. So it would be important for us in this day to yield to the Holy Ghost, right? And pray in other tongues. Pray with an understanding. Pray with, you know, as much as we know based on the Word of God. But there's certain things that you don't know what to pray for unless the Spirit of God reveals it to you. And again, like I said, it can save your life. It can save the life of your families by being able to do this and yield to this. It also, it'll prepare us for this move of God, because we are not going to try to replicate something back there. We're going to pray until God does what He wants to do. When I pray in heaven's language, in other tongues, I've laid aside my agenda and I've taken up God's agenda. And I'm saying, God, do what you want to do. My head may try to get in the way, but I'm just telling it to shut up. Whatever you want to do, do it. Y'all remember Blanche? Y'all remember her? Y'all remember Blanche? Let me tell you about Blanche. Can I tell you about Blanche? And Paul and Ma. I'm going to tell you about Paul and Ma and Blanche. Is that all right? Well, Paul and Ma were farmers. True story. They were farmers. And they loved God. Wasn't very educated. Didn't have a lot of money. And this is on back yonder. Here in the early 1900s. And he had a small farm, not a big farm. And every morning the custom was, you know, they'd get up early because he had to feed the animals, the chickens and the cows. Had a few cows and some goats and stuff like that, you know. And around the farm, take care of things, make sure they had water and feed. And while he would go out and get food out of the little storage thing and put it in his pails and his buckets and go into the chicken house and feed, slop the hogs. You ever slop the hogs before? Anyway, and then feed the cows and make sure they had water and everything. Then Ma, she would be in there fixing them big old biscuits and sausages about that long and cook 2 or 3 pounds of, you know, bacon or something, you know, and fry up them eggs. It's real good for you, you know. Don't tell Doc Titterball. What about don't tell? But anyway, don't tell all them people. But anyway, it just fixed it up. One morning, he's getting the thing, and, you know, they got up early about daylight because that's the way it was back then. And so he got the buckets, you know, went out there in the little house that they kept the feed in and started out across the barnyard. And she's already getting the stove hot, got the old wood stove with the wood of burning, you know, lit the thing up. Ladies, ain't you glad you don't have to do that no more? With that wood up in there and light that thing, get some good old fat lightered wood and light it up and get it going and get that stove hot. I think we need to train Pastor Jenny along these lines. My God. Get that stove hot and get that cast iron frying pan that today they say to kill you, but it'll help you. I'm here to tell you, but cast iron, big old pan, you know, to put all the eggs in it and everything, you know. So he took off with them buckets. You remember this, brother? He's going to Blanche, you know. He took off out there, Paul did, while Ma's in there getting everything going. Well, they had a daughter named Blanche, and that's where I want to tell you about this daughter. I'm going to tell you about Ma and Paul. I'm going to tell you how it fits into what we're talking about right here. She had a great desire from the time she was a little girl to give her life totally to God. Of course, that thrilled Mama and Papa, you know. And they helped her with everything they could. And so she wound up being a missionary in a foreign country. And they didn't have communication like we do today, you know. You know they're about to come out with satellite phones. I mean, they already got them, but I'm talking about it's going to be a common thing. They're launching them rockets up there and putting them satellites in outer space. Don't get me on that. You know, pastor's got that Tesla. Took his picture. They're signing up him for Mars. I'm telling you, they got him. It took his picture. He's got that thing on there. It takes your picture. They send it up to Elon Musk, and he's putting him on that load. They got 220,000 people that wants to go to Mars and live. Listen, I got a list. If I just get, I'll get him a list. I got you. So Blanche, the daughter, was so in love with God. She just gave herself completely to the ministry. Lived in a foreign country because her parents, you know, heart burst because you know, their daughter is over there. They can't just, you know, write a letter, you know. And it takes forever, I mean, a month maybe, to get there. But he's walking across there with those pails to feed the hogs, feed the chickens, feed the cows, and get some water, you know, for them. And he's going to go out and tend the garden later after breakfast. So he was walking across that yard. All of a sudden in his spirit, because he was a spiritual man, he prayed a lot in the spirit. And it came on him that something's wrong with Blanche, my daughter. In fact, it was to the point he knew his daughter was about to die. He set the pails down. He forgot about the kitchen, the chickens and the cows and the hogs and water. And he turned around and walked back into the kitchen. You know, it was on the back side of the house. He opened the old wooden door. And when he opened that door, Ma was over there at the stove. And she turned around and looked at him and could tell immediately by looking at him, something's wrong with him. Because he's supposed to feed, that's their custom every day. They do this 7 days a week. And he's back. And she said, "What's wrong with you, Pa?" He said, "I don't know, honey. But something's wrong with Blanche. Her life is in danger. She's going to die." She said, "Let's hit the floor." So they got down on that floor and they prayed for an hour. They prayed for 2 hours. They prayed for 3 hours. They prayed for 4 hours. They prayed for 5 hours. Why? Because the Holy Ghost called them. The Holy Ghost called them. I said, the Holy Ghost called them. Said, "Hey, Paul. Something wrong with Blanche. She's way over yonder, thousands and thousands and thousands of miles away from you. But I know that you're concerned about your daughter. And you need to do something now." They fell down and prayed for almost 6 straight hours. And finally, he and Ma, Pa and Ma, got a note of victory. And he stood up. He said, "Honey, we got it. We got it. We got it. She ain't gonna die now." And Ma said, "Paul, you sure? Paul, you sure? That's Mama concerned about her baby. Paul, you sure?" He said, "I'm sure." He said, "The Holy Ghost has showed me my baby is all right. Blanche is all right. I don't know what it was, but we got the victory. And I'm here to tell you, the Holy Ghost knows everything about everybody." Amen. Everything about everybody. Amen. He needs you. Because it might not be your family. It may be somebody else that you're going to pray out of death. Yes, that you're actually going to pray out of hell.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Yes, sir.
God is calling His people to a higher walk in the Spirit. You don't have to do it. But He's calling you. You have to sign up for it.
Amen.
He's not going to hate you if you don't. He's trying to help us. So when they kind of gathered themselves, they heard the cows and booing and a lowing out there, and the pigs are squealing and the chickens are clucking, and realized, we've been praying 6 hours. He said, "I'm going to feed the animals. You know, she just set the pan off the stove." She said, "I'm going to start a cooking again. We can have a party. Woo!" So he went out. Well, later on, when they finally was able to make contact and find out, they found out that she had contacted some dreadful disease that nobody ever survives that gets it in the foreign country she lived in. And she was at the point of death. But he got in there and started praying and praying and praying and praying. And all of a sudden he said, "I got it, I got it." The moment he said, "I got it," they compared the times, she rose up totally healed off her deathbed. Thousands of miles away. That is your God. There is a place in the Spirit, ladies and gentlemen, that we have yet to tap into. Listen here. You can go to Mr. Trudeau's house if you want to.
That's right.
In the Spirit, I'm talking about.
Yes, sir.
In the Spirit.
Yes, sir.
You're not going to necessarily always do it with a vote. You need to vote right. But God can send you in there. Sister Rachel told stories, Tiff Diller, about going to our White House.
Yes,
with a broom and sweeping out from under the presidential desk. I'm here to tell you it's time y'all went to Parliament. What do y'all call it over here? Parliament? I'm telling you, said, is that possible? I'm telling you, it is possible. The church has the authority that we haven't tapped into, and the reason we have not is because we're too doggone lazy. It's Pastor Craig's fault. I didn't. Remember, he got up and said, oh, Brother Eddie, preach the oracles of God. We're too doggone lazy. We're too selfish. I'm talking about the entire body of Christ. Remember, I'm not just putting it on you. That's our problem. We're waiting for somebody else to do something or some candidate to get into there and do something. No, we are the candidates. We are in the kingdom of God. And God's power belongs to us. We can change things if we press into the Spirit. We can change our nation. You think this nation has gone too far? It has not gone too far for God. The United States of America has not gone too far that God can't straighten it out. I mean, it looks hopeless in the natural, just like it does in Canada. But God is bigger than those things. And it's time that we go to Parliament in our United States, go to Congress, go to the presidential office, go to the Supreme Court. And y'all know that just recently, you know, they overturned what they call Roe versus Wade. With the Supreme Court, I mean, it's still legal by states, but it's, you can take the state now. The Supreme Court can't overrule the state like it used to. Right. It used to be a federal law that they could murder babies. That's right. But it's not federal anymore. Amen. In other words, the government, the Supreme Court had the final authority. They had passed a rule way back yonder in the 70s. It was Roe versus Wade, but it's also another law, too, that went with it, but you never hear about that. But anyway, they said that back then it was constitutional for the murder of babies. But this Supreme Court that's in now said it was not constitutional. And the Supreme Court had no right to rule about that because there's nowhere in the Constitution that gives them the right to rule of it. Because we have what we call a Constitution. I don't know, y'all have one here? And so they had enough sense to say, we don't have it. But I can tell them something else. You want my opinion? Yes, there's other things they don't have the authority to rule on either. Right. Such as same-sex marriage. It's not in the Constitution. It's not. But they make it, when they put it on the Supreme Court level, that means that all the states and all the citizens must obey that law. At the point of being arrested and put in jail if you don't. You see? But when they overturn that, that brings it back to each state can pass any laws. And Oklahoma already had a law. They called it a trigger law. They already knew what was coming. They already had a law that as soon as the Supreme Court's done that, it would change and you could no longer do abortion in Oklahoma under certain cases. You understand? There's certain cases. But it would no longer be a blanket thing like the Supreme Court said. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got authority. God is moving the church into a place today. And He is encouraging us. Again, I'm not getting on anybody. I'm being nice, but I'm telling the truth. The reason the church is not walking in more of what God said for it to walk in is because the church as a whole is too lazy. And that's the truth. Because there's no other way. There's no other way. Except praying, except seeking God, except walking with God. We must give ourselves to prayer and pray out the mysteries of God. Y'all remember Mom and Dad Goodwin? You know of them, you know. Well, let me tell you this story. True life story. And the reason I'm doing this is I'm prompted by the Holy Ghost. I had no idea I was going to share this tonight. But God is encouraging us. This is the way it works. But Mom and Dad Goodwin were pastors. It was good friends of Dad Hagin's. Now, I didn't know them personally. I knew of them, listened to their teachings and things. In fact, we've got some books that they wrote and was able to secure those things. But they were spiritual people. In fact, anytime Dad Hagin had an opportunity, and when he was traveling and got close to where they were at, he would go by and visit with them because he was just so encouraging. And they would minister to him. You know, he was human. And they would minister to him, encourage him. Sometimes the Lord would give him a word for him, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And so they were known to be spiritual people. One night, they were lying in bed and had gone off to sleep. And Dad Goodwin, he was the pastor of the church, you know. He and his wife pastored together. And all of a sudden, he heard a noise that startled him and brought him awake. And when he woke up, it was his wife, Mom Goodwin. She was laying in the bed and she was groaning. And he thought that she was in pain or something, the way she felt, the way she sounded. So he turned to her and said, "What's wrong, honey? What's wrong? Is something wrong with you? Are you in pain? What are you groaning for like that?" She said, "Honey, I don't know who it is, and I don't know what." She said, "But one of our church members' life is in danger." And they thought, well, we got some church members out. It was a time of year people go on a holiday vacation, you know, and things like that. And they had some out on the road. They thought, well, maybe it's somebody on the road. Now, how was she supposed to know this if the Holy Ghost didn't alert her? And if she wasn't sensitive to it, the man would be dead today. So let's hear the story out. So he said, well, let's pray about it. So they got to praying, you know, laying there in the bed. And then the next thing you know, because he was sleepy and he was tired, he drifted off back to sleep and fell asleep. And then in a little while, he was awakened again. And she was groaning and travailing in the spirit. And he said, "Honey," she said, "I just can't get relief. Something is wrong to one of our church members. Their life's in danger. I don't know what it is." He said, "Well, let's just get out of bed." He said, "If I lay here," he said, "I'm going to sleep." So they got up and knelt down on the floor and began to pray. And so they prayed, you know, 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, on over there for several hours. And they never did, you know, just get something clear, but they come to this place about, I don't know, about 4 o'clock in the morning when they finally got to this place. And they said to each other, "We prayed this out, we believe. Let's just agree together right now that whoever this church member is of ours, this life in danger, that God would speak to them, God would have an angel appear to them, or God would give them a dream or something." And they agreed to that, yes. And when they prayed and agreed that way, they both were satisfied that they could go back to sleep. So they went back to sleep. And they got up, of course, the next day. And then later on that morning, of course, one of their church members, one of their good church members, good church members, was going to work. Do you remember this story? He worked on an oil derrick down in Texas, where they would go up, you know, and they would put pipe down in the ground and drill for oil and pull oil pipe up and all that before they could pump oil out of the ground. So he went on to work. When he got to work, the boss man that run the crew said to him, this church member of theirs, said, "Well, so-and-so didn't show up today. We don't know what's wrong." But about all of them could do all the jobs because they'd been doing it together for so long. And he said to this church member, the boss did, he said, "I want you, you know how to do it. Why don't you climb the derrick up there And you run that chain and run the pipe up and down up there. So this guy, you know, wanting to be obedient, he grabs up the ladder because you had to climb up there physically. He climbed up about 3 or 4 rungs and then climbed back down. The church member did. And the guy said, well, what is it? He said, I ain't going up there. And he says, what do you mean you ain't going up there? He said, cause at 4 o'clock this morning, Mom and Dad Goodwin had agreed together. He said, I had a dream. He said, in that dream, I dreamed that so-and-so and called the other guy's name didn't show up for work. And in the dream, you said to me, go up there to the top of that derrick and you work up there. And it was dangerous. All this work's dangerous. And he said, I saw myself in this dream up there. And he said that cable broke after I'd been up there about 10 minutes and cut my head off. He said, I ain't going. So another fella, was a good Christian fella, laughed at him. Ah, oh, you're superstitious. What's wrong with you? You scared. I'll go up there. I'll work the top of that derrick. And they said, well, you can go if you want to, but I ain't going. I ain't going up there. So that other fella, good Christian fella, he went to scurrying up there like a squirrel up a tree, you know. He got up there and they started this rig up, you know, and started all this pipe pulling and drilling and carrying on. And about 10 minutes later, this good Christian fella that didn't go up, Mom and Dad Goodwin's church member, was bending over, picking up something off the ground to move it out of the way. And they heard something snap, and before he could look, the man's head cut off and he hit him in the back. Cut the man's head off and hit the Christian fella that knew God and had pastors that knew God. It makes a difference where you go to church. Yes, it does. Not belittling anybody. Don't get me wrong. Pastors like you have here and ministers like you have here that know how to pray. But he said, that man that went up there that laughed and mocked and made fun of him, you know, and God didn't kill him, you understand that. God knew that cable was going to break. He knew that cable was worn out from overuse. No man knew it, but God knew it. And it cut that man's head smooth off, clean off, and it fell down and hit the other guy that didn't go up there in the back. It makes a difference to follow the Holy Ghost. Isn't that right? It'll behoove you to pray and seek God. He'll protect you. He'll protect your children. He'll protect your family. He will show you things to come. And also we can pray out the move of God. Because this move that's taking place, remember, it's not going to be replicated from a move of the past. And that's what's happening today. People are trying to bring on something that happened in the past and make us think that this is what God is doing today, but it's going to bypass the human mind. And that's the truth. I encourage you, accept the call of the Lord to spend more time in prayer, to pray in the Spirit. And again, I'm not saying you're going to hell if you don't. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying if you will do it, we will get there quicker. And we'll move into this move of God. And it'll be a move like we've never seen before. It cannot be replicated. This will be the grand finale before we go out of here. But also, it will help you in every area of your life as you get sensitive to God. Do you know that He cares about everything in your life? Jesus appeared to Dad Hagin. He actually sat down in a hospital room with him in El Paso, Texas in 1959. You remember that? And I'm not going into the whole story. But he said this. He said, talking to Dad Hagin, he said, I want you to teach my people how to be led by the Spirit of God. He taught him how to do it. In fact, he's got a book called How to Be Led of the Spirit of God, Kenneth E. Hagin does. Just knock the dust off of it. You know, and apply it to your life. But anyway, he told him, he said, I care about all the affairs, I'm just paraphrasing, of my children. And he said, if my children will learn to listen to me, He said, I will make them rich. Now, rich means to have an abundant supply. It doesn't necessarily mean that everybody's going to be a millionaire. But God will lead you into a place of prosperity where you have more than enough that you don't have to scrape and scream and pull and shove to try to make it. He said, I will make my children rich, have an abundant supply, if you'll learn to do that. And you'll learn to pray and give yourself to the Lord. He'll show you exactly what to do. Amen. And I could tell you stories about myself where the Lord helped me and brought me into the place I'm in today financially just because I started to listen to that and applying it to my life. Have you been encouraged tonight?
Yes.
I can tell you're ready to go. You're ready to pray.